Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1978 with a release date of Friday, September 25th, 2015, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. In separate tragedies, two radio amateurs become silent keys. Area hams lend support to a Massachusetts cycling event to benefit ALS research. A new island gets activated in Connecticut's Housatonic River, and pigs fly, transmitting to receivers on the earth below. All this and more in Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1978, coming your way right now.
From around the world, this is Newsline, Amateur Radio's independent on-the-air news and bulletin service. Now, from New Orleans, Don Wilbanks, AE5DW.
The amateur radio community is grieving the loss of two members, one a victim of California's Butte wildfire and the other killed in the line of duty in a Florida shooting. They are Mark McLeod, KC6YCV of Mokelum Hill, California, and William Myers, KK4KF of Shalimar, Florida. McLeod was confirmed as being among the latest death toll in the wildfires that have been sweeping the West Coast state since September 9th. His body was found outside his house on September 16th, one of two fatalities in the Butte fire raging east of Sacramento. The Calaveras County Coroner, Kevin Reggio, said the 66-year-old McLeod, who lived in Mountain Ranch, died of thermal injury as a result of the fire. Reggio told the Los Angeles Times that McLeod had refused to leave the scene and ultimately succumbed. Neighbor Donnie Moore told KCRA-TV that the retiree, who was disabled, could not be convinced to abandon his residence despite the risks. The Butte fire has been spreading since it first broke out September 9th and has burned more than 70,760 acres. According to McLeod's profile on QRZ, he was an avid gardener who devoted the balance of his time to his HF antenna projects. The death of Myers, an Okaloosa County, Florida sheriff's deputy, came in the line of duty on Tuesday, September 22nd, while he was serving an injunction in a domestic violence case. Before he could serve, 33-year-old Joel Smith, the document to protect Smith's partner and call for the removal of firearms, Smith fired a previously concealed weapon at him. Myers died of his injuries a short time later at the hospital following surgery. Smith was shot and killed by authorities during a standoff at a nearby hotel. According to Myers' QSL.net profile, he was an Air Force retiree and the father of two sons, one of whom is also a ham. He was an enthusiastic QRP operator and a fan of kit-built radios, including some vintage Heath kits. Myers became a silent key at age 64. The ride to defeat ALS, taking place Sunday, September 27th in Massachusetts, marks the tough journey that begins whenever a person receives a diagnosis of ALS, or Lou Gehrig's disease, a terminal neuromuscular disease. Perhaps one of the most high-profile people to be diagnosed is New Orleans Saints star player Steve Gleason, who created Team Gleason as a public awareness foundation following his own diagnosis in 2011. Echoing that same spirit of charity and awareness, the ALS Association's Massachusetts chapter and the Worcester Emergency Communications Team are counting on amateur radio operators in the region to support cyclists participating in the benefit ride. Radio operators are needed to provide roving communications for safety and aid, as well as staffing stations along the courses, which runs for 75, 50, 25, and 10 miles. The route begins at the Longfellow Club in Wayland, and the longest routes continue through several towns with rest stops in Hudson, Bolton, Acton, Concord, and Sudbury. The event concludes at 3 p.m. Some operators may need to bring a mobile radio to their station because of the large area being covered. Any ham who would like to be a part of the event should email directly to events@wect.org and indicate what type of radio you have, frequency, and whether you prefer to be roving or stationary. There's lots of celebrating going on at the Newport County Radio Club, which has just activated Turnip Island, now known as CT036R. The crew on the island in Connecticut's Housatonic River consisted of Rich, KC1ARO, and Paul, N1PSX, who logged 30 contacts, ranging from nearby New York and Virginia to farther away Oklahoma and South Dakota, but also Canada and Aruba. The crew worked mostly on 20 meters with some QSOs on 40. Paul Silverswag, N1PSX, and Rich Russell, KC1ARO, report on the Newport County Club website that on September 19th, the day they set up operations, quote, "The river was very slow, complicating transport with rocky interjections, but we got out there with two radios, two antennas, and lunch. The island was official by noonish." Then the crew, which had operated as call sign W1SYE, no doubt sat down to a lunch that had just become a celebration feast. A recent report from the International Amateur Radio Union has put radio amateurs on alert to some new and persistent sources of interference on the bands. An increasing amount of Russian military traffic has turned up on 40 and 20 meters, according to the September newsletter from the IARU Region 1 monitoring system. Monitors in Europe reported strong daily interference and frequent splatter, in particular in Gorodezh on 14.108 megahertz from a Russian over-the-horizon radar, and found the Russian Navy using FMCW frequently on 14.192 megahertz. Other monitors based in Germany reported Chinese over-the-horizon radars operating on other bands, including 75 meters. Region 1 monitors have also detected interference from Spanish fishing vessels on all bands and an interfering transmission from a beacon in Kazakhstan on 7027.5 kHz, sent as a continuous letter V. European-based monitors have also detected interference on 10 meters as transmissions between taxi dispatchers and drivers. Wolf Hadel, DK2OM, a coordinator and monitor with the program, has told members of the Rusk County Amateur Radio Club in East Texas that Russian and Iranian over-the-horizon operations are among the worst offenders, especially on 20 meters. Hadel has been encouraging more hams to become volunteer monitors. License applicants, welcome to the age of paperless paperwork. In keeping with its announcement earlier this year, the FCC has stopped printing and mailing license documents as part of its plan to economize and streamline. And that's made things busier than ever at the ARRL's VEC. VEC manager Maria Soma, AB1FM, says her offices are receiving three times the number of calls from amateurs who may be confused about the change or need additional information on how to get copies of their license. Soma has responded by creating a webpage called Obtain License Copy, which walks website visitors through the ways to receive an official document from the FCC. She also recommends that amateurs wanting a license copy call the FCC directly at 877-480-3201 and select option 4 from the menu. Changes are coming to two European amateur radio licensing systems. In the UK, starting on October 1st, amateur radio license exams will be overseen by the Radio Society of Great Britain, which is picking up the responsibility from the Radio Communications Foundation. The RSGB has been assuring applicants that nothing other than that will really change. A recent statement says, quote, "The same people will be doing the same things. They'll just be reporting to the RSGB board instead of the RCF. This will free the RCF trustees to concentrate on their charitable work and will further streamline the administration of the examinations, building on the foundation established over the last 8 years," end quote. The test had been given by the RCF since 2007. The RSGB concludes its statement by saying, quote, "Examinations will continue to be available to all, regardless of RSGB membership, and these changes will have minimal impact on the conduct of the examinations at the local level." In the meantime, the formerly free licenses issued in the Netherlands are now subject to a fee of 31 euros. The Dutch government announced the imposition of the new fee on Budget Day, September 15th. The move is being protested by the Dutch radio communications agency, Veron. Now here's a real case of a ham being on the air. Pinky Pig was set to head into near space at noon on Friday, September 25th from the National Ham Fest at the Newark Showground in the UK. The little pink pig figure is being launched by Andrew Garrett, M0NRD, who has outfitted Pinky with a headset worthy of his trip aboard a high-altitude balloon. Images of the airborne porker are to be transmitted via slow-scan digital video to awaiting amateur receivers home on Earth. The payload carries the call sign, naturally, P-I-N-K-Y. And the pig will transmit on 434.575 megahertz USB RTTY 300 bits per second hertz shift ASCII 8, no parity, two stop bits. Hopefully, Pinky won't end up hogging the airwaves, and with any luck, his signal won't be reduced to a squeal. And with that, it's time for you to identify your station. We are the Amateur Radio Newsline, heard on bulletin stations around the world, including K7MRG, the Mingus Mountain Repeater Group in Prescott, Arizona, on Tuesday nights. The Gals Night Net, based in Arizona, is part emergency preparedness exercise and part supportive sisterhood for the YLs and XYLs who check in. And after a summer break, it's back in business. Amateur Radio Newsline's Heather Emby, KB3TZD, has the details.
After a successful spring season and a break in the action during August, Angie Buchanan, N7EMB, is back to hosting a Monday night on-air gathering of women amateurs on the Eastern Arizona ARS Repeater System, or EARS, at 7:30 Mountain Time. The net resumed in early September. Hams participating don't need to be a member of EARS to use the wide-reaching 11 repeater system. Angie writes in an email to Amateur Radio Newsline that the net evolved as a way to get licensed females on the air and to get to know one another. It's also a way to improve operating skills and check how well the radio equipment is working. And she says, quote, "to feel more relaxed behind the mic just in case we're ever needed in an emergency situation." Angie says she hopes to make it fun even for the shyest amateurs, and if that sounds like you, you can email her instead at EMBERFIRE@COX.net. Include your call sign and she will call you on the air instead. She says, quote, I want them to be able to handle the radio in an emergency situation and not have their husbands to direct them, end quote. Sorry, guys. OMs are banned from this net. But Angie says most of them understand perfectly and accept it. For Amateur Radio Newsline, I'm Heather Emby, KB3TZD in Berwick, Pennsylvania.
For a list of repeater frequencies and PL codes, visit the Radio Society's website, www.eaars.com. We're barely into autumn, but already the Intrepid DX Group is thinking ahead to January 2016. That's when the radio operators are headed to South Sandwich, South Georgia on their next DX expedition. These are coveted spots, with the South Sandwich Islands being number 3 on Club Log's Most Wanted DXCC list, and South Georgia number 8. Paul Ewing, N6PSE, said the team expects to arrive on South Sandwich by January 17th, weather permitting, and will spend 10 days there operating as VP8STI before moving on to South Georgia Island, where they'll operate as VP8SGI beginning February 1st. Ewing told the ARRL that the South Sandwich operation is a top consideration. Quote, our main priority is to make a great impact to the need for South Sandwich contacts, and we will sacrifice our time at South Georgia to ensure that we make that impact from South Sandwich. The URE, the National Amateur Radio Society of Spain, is trying to get licensed amateurs interested in Citizens Band. The URE website now has a 27 megahertz portal to CB and is encouraging everyone, especially licensed radio amateurs, to give it a try. The website is promoting CB not just in Spain, but in other countries. According to the website, the use of the CB frequency has not been considered special use since May of 2014, and no special application or license is required from the Secretary of State for Telecommunications and the Information Society. The state goes on to say, in translation, any approved equipment can be used by anyone without paying fees or having licenses. Inquiries are directed to the email address at cb27@ure.es. Region 3 of the International Amateur Radio Union will hold its triennial conference October 12th in Bali, hosted by the Indonesian Radio Society, OARI. The special event station, YB16IARU, will be operating at the conference venue, the Sanur Paradise Plaza Hotel, through the gathering's conclusion on October 16th. This is the second time Indonesia has hosted the event. Attendees will include representatives from the ARRL U.S. Pacific Territories, NZART New Zealand, JARL Japan, and VARC Vietnam, among others. The agenda will include the push by the UN to have Morse code granted heritage recognition, the World Radio Conference to be held in Geneva in November, and the IARU's role in CubeSat launches. The Albanian Radio Amateur Club has announced its arrival to the world and to local hams. Although amateurs have been active in that country since 1952 as the Federation of Radio Amateurs, the new club's website notes that activity, including contesting, has been limited even into the 1990s. The website says that once the democratic process took hold in Albania, replacing communism, amateur radio began to grow and expand, inspired by ham radio efforts in nearby Hungary. The new organization, which replaces the Federation, is the brainchild of three hams who, according to the website, wanted to provide, quote, an opportunity to bring together our personal experiences in order to create a meeting point for all those passionate about radio in Albania. They're urging members and prospective members to be patient. A banner at the bottom of the new club's website says, we are newborn. Give us time to get organized. Good luck. NDX, three Czech amateurs are operating in Zimbabwe as Z21MG through October 1st. They're focusing on the CQ Worldwide RTTY contest September 26th and 27th, but will also be using SSB and CW. QSLs are available via Clublog OQRS. The Amateur Radio Club of Chios Island, SZ8XIO, is holding a special event station through October using the call sign SX8HOMER, or Homer. The Greek Island station will operate on 40, 30, 20, 17, 15, and 10 meters using SSB, PSK31, and JT65. The call sign honors Homer, the author of the epic poems The Iliad and the Odyssey. QSL cards are not necessary, but a certificate is available for $5 or is free for a PDF file format. Write the QSL manager, SV8GXQ. Vili, DJ7RJ, will be operating from Mauritius on 160 through 10 meters as 3B8-DL7RJ beginning October 5th through the end of the month. He'll focus on 160 meters using CW and SSB, QSL via his home call sign. John, W2GD, will be active again in Aruba as P40W October 24th and 25th during the CQ Worldwide DX SSB contest. QSL via Logbook of the World or direct to N2MM. Bureau cards are no longer accepted. And Moto JA1GZV is operating as TX7A from Moorea Island in French Polynesia until the end of October. And finally this week, only one person could possibly be prouder than a 10-year-old ham herself after successfully completing her first QSO NCW. And that, of course, would be the young ham's dad. Faith Hannah Lee, AE4FH, did just that recently from her Florida home with her father, Jim Lee, WX4TV, alongside. He recently told Amateur Radio Newsline Cheryl Lassick that it was one of the many proud moments given him by his homeschool daughter, who earned her extra class this year. Said her father, quote, "When she decides that she wants to do something, she simply does it." That also includes speaking this past May at the Dayton Ham Fest with her brother Zachariah, WX4TVJ. Faith Hannah is also a big fan of CW because, she noted, it's one of the last communications options available when the Internet and the grid have failed. And she credits her dad, her Elmer, with helping her practice, especially, she said, sending, quote, "weird messages" back and forth to amuse themselves while she learns. With any luck, in a few years, actually quite a few years, Faith Hannah may know the Morse code accomplishment celebrated some months ago by Carol McGee of Reno, Nevada. Shortly before her 95th birthday, the former World War II Navy nurse was honored with a Legacy Award from the Sisterhood of Amateur Radio for her service as a radio operator during the war and beyond. McGee had been licensed in the 1930s as W8UCY. Tom Loughney, AJ4XM, general manager of the Quarter Century Wireless Association, said his group was also present at the annual dinner, where McGee expressed an interest in perhaps becoming more active again. We eagerly await word of her next QSO in CW. With thanks to Allen Labs, the ARRL, AMSAT News Service, CQ Magazine, DX Coffee, Hap Holly and the Rain Report, the Irish Radio Transmitter Society, the Information Press, IARU Region 1, the ITU, KCRA-TV, the Los Angeles Times, the Newport County Radio Club, the Ohio Penn DX Newsletter, Southgate Amateur Radio News, Twit TV, the Quarter Century Wireless Association, QRZ Now, the Sisterhood of Amateur Radio, Southgate Amateur Radio News, and you, our listeners. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address is newsline@arnewsline.org. More information is available at Amateur Radio Newsline's only official website. You'll find that at www.arnewsline.org. You can also write us or support us at Amateur Radio Newsline, 28197 Robin Avenue, Santa Clarita, California, 91350. For now, with Karen Eve Murray, KD2GUT at the news desk in New York, and our news team worldwide, I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW, in New Orleans, saying 73. And as always, we thank you for listening. Amateur Radio Newsline is copyright 2015. All rights are reserved.